Thank you, James. Thank you for all of you for being here. It takes a little bit of effort to crawl out of a warm bed on a cold morning, get dressed, and come here to worship God. And even though it's a wonderful privilege, it's not the first thing that people jump to in their life. You have to make a decision. You have to decide, I want to be in church. I want to be with my brothers and sisters. I want to worship my God on the Lord's day. And I thank you for making that decision. Last week I talked about the narrow gate and the narrow way as described in Matthew 7, 13 and 14. I want to continue to talk about that a little bit this morning. I'll remind you that last week when we read these verses, enter by the narrow gate, Matthew 7, 13, enter by the narrow gate. For the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and many are those who enter by it. For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and few are those who find it. We talked about the fact that these words are part of the Sermon on the Mount that we find in Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. And they come toward the end of that sermon, and they serve as a way for Jesus to illustrate that he lays before us a choice of two ways to live one's life. He uses the illustration of the narrow gate and the narrow way. He also uses the illustration of the two foundations, whether you build your house on the rock or on the sand. That also illustrates a choice of how to live your life, of what to build your life upon. Talked about the fact that the two gates represent a choice at the beginning. You have to enter into that narrow way, and you have to choose to enter into that narrow way, and what you need to do is find that small gate and say, this is the one I'm going to go in. And the fact that it's narrow means that it's restrained and constrained and confined. You can't just do whatever you want, as most people would like to do, and many people do. When you make the choice to enter into that narrow gate and follow that narrow way, you don't do just whatever you want. You do what the Lord wants you to do. And that is constraining, and it is refined and limiting. But it's the way that leads to life. It's hard, it's challenging, but it leads to life. And the ways that follow the choice, the initial choice, whether I'm just going to do whatever I want or I'm going to do what the Lord wants, it leads to a way of life. One's popular and one is unpopular. It is less and less popular to live the life of a Christian. The majority of people in our society, even those who nominally call themselves Christians, they don't live the life of a Christian. And we find ourselves becoming more and more of a minority, even in our own society. But there is a decided consequence to the two decisions. And that's what I want to talk about for a few moments this morning. The wide and broad way leads to death, to destruction. The narrow way leads to life. And Jesus says that. He says the narrow way, enter by the narrow gate. The way is narrow that leads to life. That's what I want to talk about for a few moments this morning. Do you believe that the narrow way leads to life? Thank you, brother. Now, we make decisions every day. We decide how to clothe ourselves. I decided how to clothe myself this morning. I got the wrong jacket with these pants. It's not the right one. I made a mistake. But I decided that. Nobody made me decide that. We have to make our decisions based on what? What we feel is right, what we think is right, what we want. What Jesus is trying to say is, I'm laying before you a narrow way. It's a narrow gate, I understand. It's a narrow way. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not going to try to sell you a bill of goods. I'm telling you, this life has its challenges, and it's restrictive. But it's a good way, and it leads to life. And we have to know that. We have to know that in our bones. That the life that we have chosen as Christians is a way of life. And it leads to life and it makes for more life. It's a good way. Because every day when you get up and you make those decisions like you did this morning and say, you know, what am I going to do with my day? Am I going to go to church? For those of us who have habitually and consistently made this choice, it's not really even a choice anymore. We've already decided the way we're going to live our life. And there's no question in our mind. It's Sunday morning. What do you do on Sunday morning? I don't even have to think about it. I don't think about it. It's the way. It leads to life. Now, I made the point, and this is what I'm going to stress again this morning, is that all of the things that Jesus talks about in the Sermon on the Mount are the way. He's illustrating his sermon. We need to connect the illustration to the sermon. And what I'd like for you to do with me this morning is to go through once again the Sermon on the Mount and look at what Jesus says in the sermon and understand things that he lays out for us in the sermon are the way that leads to life. To connect life decisions to the consequences. Life. So very often, we just see the hardness, the difficulty, the challenge, and the I don't want to part of it. I don't want to do that. That's not easy. That's not natural. Literally, it's not natural. It's supernatural. It's heavenly. It's not natural. And it's hard. But it leads to life. It's the way. So join with me, and we'll begin in Matthew chapter 5. Verse 2, opening his mouth, he began to teach them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Do you understand? Do you see that every single one of those, it leads to life? You see that? The kingdom of heaven, to see God, to receive mercy, to be satisfied, to be comforted. It's life. And to choose in your own life to say, you know what I'm going to do is I'm going to mourn. I'm going to mourn for my sins of the rest of the world. They're unashamedly indulgent in their sins. And they embrace the flesh, and they embrace the lusts of the flesh, and they do selfish things. Not me. I know that about myself. I know that's in me, and I know I have those desires. But you know what? that saddens me. I mourn. I mourn for the sins that I've committed. God's going to forgive you. And to show mercy is not easy. It's not easy to show mercy. You know, people have mistreated you and been ugly to you, and to forgive them is not easy. But you know what? It leads to what? It leads to forgive leads to a life where you actually have some good relationships with people, and you get past the ill feelings and the ill will and the bitterness and the self. Focus, you know, where you just, all you think about is your own hurt feelings, and you just get bitter and you just get chewed up inside, but you get past that, you show mercy, you say, you know what I'm going to do is I'm going to forgive you. And all of that gets taken off of you, and suddenly it's like the dawning of a new day. That's life. God forgives you, and that's more life. You think about hungering and thirsting for righteousness. There's a whole world out there. They couldn't care less about what righteousness is. Couldn't care less about what God has to say about what's right and what's wrong. And they are totally wrapped up and entrapped in darkness. They are going down a dark path that leads to more and more death and destruction. You think about these celebrities. It's almost like a weekly story now of some celebrity have all this fame and all this fortune, and they drug themselves to death, and they engage in all kinds of debauchery, and they kill themselves. They kill themselves. It is a life of death. Don't envy those people. Don't hunger and thirst after wantonness and lust. Hunger and thirst after righteousness. It's not easy. You know, there's parts of us that crave those things in the world that, you know, you say, you have a spirit, you have a soul, and your soul says, there's a better way. I see these words of Jesus, and I find them satisfying. It's a way of life. And the more you get into the Word, and the more you listen to what Jesus has to say, it satisfies you. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. And to be a peacemaker, it's not easy to be a peacemaker. And it's not easy to be mistreated and laughed at and scorned because of the life that you choose to live. Choose the narrow gate and the narrow way, and people who are on the Broadway, they look back at you, you are an idiot. You are crazy. You waste your weekend going to church. You got a day off and you're going to go to church. That's crazy. The people on the Broadway, they say, come on out, go to this party. Go, you know, we're going to go, man, we're going to have a great time. We are going to get wasted. It's going to be great. It's the way of death. It's the way of death. That doesn't mean it's unattractive. Doesn't mean there isn't some pleasure there. And they make fun of you. You're the one who's wasting your life. You're the one who's being foolish. And they make you feel bad. Sometimes they make you feel real bad. And they get downright ugly to you. And Jesus says, that's blessed. That's the way of life. The way that leads to life is a way that often gets you mistreated, but hey, it's a good way. And when you stop and you think about it, all of those things that you're turning yourself away from, all of those things that people get wrapped up in life, does it really lead to only good things? Does it really lead to only pleasure and joy? And no. There's a lot of grief and sorrow and sadness, even in this life, even right now. that those people embrace and bring into their own life, and they hurt themselves, and they hurt their families, and they hurt their children, and they hurt their parents, and they hurt people, and they hurt society, and it's a way of death. You understand? See, pot may be legal in many places in this country. It may become legal everywhere. It's the way of death. All that, don't get me wrong. I understand. I understand the pleasure and the joy of being high. I understand it. It's the way of death. Ruins you. It ruins you. It makes you worthless. It's the way of death. Do you understand? When Jesus says here in the Sermon on the Mount, when he says, you are to be the salt of the earth, you are to be the light of the world, a city set on a hill cannot be hidden. And he explains the application. He says, let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. You understand what that means, right? That you choose to be different. A light stands out in the darkness and it says, this is the way. And the salt makes a difference because of its saltiness. It has an influence, it has an effect. People around it perceive it and understand it. And when you make that choice, I'm not going to do something selfish today. I'm not going to do something serve my own interest. And instead, I'm going to go out here and I'm going to do what Jesus calls good works. Works of service, works of mercy, works of charity, works of helpfulness. And again, you know, that's not what comes natural. What comes natural is do something that satisfies me, that takes care of me, that helps me. And well, when you do that, you are of no effect on the world around you. You're not a light. You're just part of the background. You're just like everybody else. You're not salt. You've lost your saltiness. You're just doing what everybody does those things. But when you're different and you say, okay, I'm going to make the hard choice, the narrow choice, the constraining choice, and I'm going to go out here and I'm going to do good works, and I don't care if other people see that because they need to see it, it leads to life. They glorify God. They see that, and a little bit of illumination occurs in their mind, and they say, man, that guy's, he's different. Maybe there's something to that. Certainly sheds light in the life of the people that you've helped. Changes them. Changes you. Maybe changes people who are observing. That's the way of life. Don't ever regret. Don't ever think you've wasted your time. When you've done something that was an act of kindness, an act of goodness, that is the way that leads to life. Selfishness and self-service does nothing. Now, I'm not saying that we don't do things in our own interest. We do. We have to. That's part of our responsibility in this life. Take care of our family. Take care of ourselves. But when you choose to do good works, when you choose to do what is good, what is right, that's good. It's not called good for no reason. It's good. It leads to good things. Believe it. Embrace it. When Jesus says down here, when he says in verse 21 of Matthew 5, you have heard that the ancients were told, you shall not commit murder, and whoever commits murder shall be liable to the court. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother shall be guilty before the court. And whoever shall say to his brother, you fool, or raka, empty head, you shall be guilty before the Supreme Court. And whoever shall say, you fool, shall be guilty enough to go into hellfire. You know, it should be obvious to us. It should be obvious to us what the pathway of hate leads to. What anger leads to. Can't we see that? Don't we see that every day? This business that we saw in the news of those four young people torturing that poor mentally challenged guy. What prompted that? What a deplorable behavior, awful behavior. What prompted that? Anger. Hate. You let that kind of thing simmer in you? You let that kind of take over your thinking and over your mind? It's the way it leads to death. Think how they have ruined their lives. How their own hatred, their own animosity poisoned them, ruined them. Now, every one of us has to make a choice every day. When someone does something or we see something, it makes us angry. Kind of, man, steam kind of rises up. We have a choice. The choice is, am I going to let that anger take over my mind? Am I going to express that anger by saying, you, no, oh, you. Or am I going to say, oh, no. No, that's not the way. The way of life. Jesus shows me the way. They slapped him in the face. They spat on him. They insulted him. And he bore their sins. That's the way. It's not easy. It is hard. It is challenging to make that choice in yourself to say, anger, no, I reject you. But that's the choice that leads to life. Think about it. Instead of saying to somebody, you fool, you empty head, I'm not, you know, just not just stopping short of actually physical violence, but changing your attitude toward a person. The natural inclination is to be bitter toward them, but instead you choose that narrow way and you say, oh, I care about this person and I'm going to act like it. What is that? That opens doors. That makes possibilities. Look at the next thing that Jesus says here. He says, if therefore you are presenting your offering at the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your offering there before the altar and go your way and be reconciled to your brother and then come and present your offering. Now, a couple of points that I want to make about that. First of all, you know, reconciling with people is hard. Sometimes it's impossible. You do all you can, you can't do it. But making the effort is hard. And yet, you see the potential outcomes of that decision. Okay, I choose not to be reconciled. I choose not to make the effort. What does that lead to? More bitterness, more hard feelings, more division. It's the way of death. For yourself, for that other person, doesn't help them, doesn't help you. But you choose instead to walk this path where you say, let's work this out. I see that you have hard feelings toward me. What can I do to make that right? I've had some hard feelings toward you. I forgive you. What is that? That opens up a possibility, a door of reconciliation, of goodwill, a life that's better instead of given to bitterness, a life that's given to peace of mind. That's the choice. And I want you to notice that Jesus applies this to a person who's going to worship God, because that's the narrow way too. You are here today making your offerings before God because that's part of the narrow way. Go to church. Bring your family to church. That's part of the narrow way. Then he goes on to say, for instance, in verse 27, you've heard it said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that everyone who looks on a woman to lust for her has committed adultery with her already in his heart. If your right eye makes you stumble, tear it out. Throw it from you. It's better for you that one of the parts of your body perish than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. You don't think that there's two destinations in that statement that Jesus just made there? You know, our whole society is wrapped up in this schizophrenic approach to lust. It is amazing to me. On the one hand, we have this PC feminist kind of approach that says, oh, don't you objectify women. Don't you treat that woman or act like or talk about that woman as if she's an object, a thing to be lusted after. And on the other hand, what we have is nothing but show after show and program after program and celebrity after celebrity that wears clothing that leaves nothing to the imagination, and they're hot and they're sexy and they're, you know, it's stupid. It is so stupid, our society. And Jesus says, there's another way. There's another way. Because it's true that when you give your mind and your heart over to the lust of the flesh, and you lust after another woman or another man, whether you stop short of committing fornication or adultery, it doesn't matter. That's the way that leads to death. It leads to sorrow. It leads to broken relationships and weird and non-working relationships. And Jesus says, and it is a hyperbole, it is an illustration, it is a way of Jesus of communicating just how important this decision is if you have to pluck your eye out to stop from doing that, it's better, because that way leads to hell. It leads to hell. Do you understand? This whole society that we have that's given over the idea, well, if that's what you desire, if you desire men or you desire women, it doesn't matter. You just give in to your proclivities, whatever lust you have, whatever desire you have, you just give in to that. It is the way that leads to death. It's happening in our own society. People are destroying their lives. They destroy their health. They're destroying society. They're destroying themselves. It's the way of death. But the way of life says, I am not going to do that. I'm not going to look at that stuff on the internet. I'm not going to look at it in the movies. I'm not going to look at that. I'm not going to fill that my mind with that. I'm going to turn away from that. And I'm going to focus on building good and healthy relationships with my wife, with my husband. I want to teach my children the right way about people, because it leads to healthy and wholesome and good families and a life that goes somewhere. Understand what we're talking about? Well, I'll go on down here and talk about some other things. Jesus says, in your dealings with people, he says, you've heard it said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist him who is evil, but whoever slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, give him your coat. And whoever shall force you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Give to him who asks of you, and do not turn away from him who wants to borrow from you. You know, so very often we read those words and we find them very challenging. It's very, very difficult what Jesus is putting on us. And we try to refine it. We try to put some qualifiers on. I understand why we do that. But there is a challenging aspect of what Jesus is saying to us. And that is that when you're dealing with other people, instead of constantly only looking out for your own interests, look out for theirs. Care about their interests. And you say, well, you know, that's just going to result in loss. I'm going to lose. I'm going to be the worse off for that. No, you won't. Think of it this way. When you get to the end of your life, and you literally lose every physical thing, every possession, every last cent, you lose it, because at the end of your life, that's the end of it. Who are you? What are you? Are you the person that they just held on to everything and they got what was theirs, they got what was coming to them, and they didn't care about what other people had or what other people thought? And every interaction that they had with somebody is somebody, you better do right by me, had no impact, had no influence. You get to the end of your life, what have you got? Death. That's what you got. You got death. But let's say you went that second mile. You didn't have to. Law didn't make you do it. Civility didn't make you do it. Laws, the rules of etiquette didn't make you do it. Nobody expected you to do it, but you did it. You went the second mile. What did you lose? Lost a little rubber on your sole of your shoe, maybe? You lost a little bit of time in your life? What did you gain? You gained everything. You had the potential of having an impact on another person's life who said, man, this person went the second mile. Why did they do it? I don't understand. What is going on in their head? What is going on in their heart? What do they got that I don't have? They went the second mile. Nobody does the second mile. What's going on there? You had an impact on them. You opened a crack in the door of darkness. And they say, look, then maybe there's another way of looking at this thing. And you yourself, you got a little further on down that narrow road that leads to life. All of these passages are about this. All of this is about this. If you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax gatherers do the same? If you greet your brothers only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Therefore, you are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is imperfect. We're gaining something. We're gaining something. He goes on to talk about this. If you're praying, don't just pray in church. Don't just pray to be seen by other people. I'm not saying we pray in church to be seen by other people, but don't just pray in church. Pray at home. Pray in the privacy of your home. Why? It leads to life. It's the life thing. And don't just give to be seen by others. Give. And here again, We're looking at people who are religious. They're praying and they're giving and they're doing these things in order to please God. And if you do it just to please God and you don't do it to please anybody else, you do it just to please God is the way of life. I'm not trying to gain anything in this life. I'm trying to gain the next life. It's the way that leads to life. And it goes on and on. Jesus says, don't just work for the things of this life. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures upon earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. You see the end of that? The end of that is rust. The end of a life that's lived for material things and only for material things is rust and theft and decay. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in or steal. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You think about this. When you die, what is there? What is there? Well, there's either life or death. There's either heaven or hell. There's either eternal life or eternal destruction. Those are the choices, and there are two paths that go there. And this road that goes to eternal life is a road that says, I don't really so much care. I just want to get by. I just want to take care of my responsibilities to myself and my family and maybe help some other people along the way. And that's all. I don't need to be rich. I don't need to pile up wealth upon wealth. Really what I want to do is I just want to get to the end. Because that's where my treasure is. That's the way that leads to life. We have a whole culture that's based on the other way, the broad way. You need to get rich. And if you're not rich, then you're nobody. No, that's not true. That's the way that leads to death. Jesus says, for this reason, I say to you, verse 25, I say to you, do not be anxious for your life as to what you shall eat or what you shall drink or for your body as to what you shall put on. Is not life more than food and the body than clothing? Well, for some people, it's not. For some people, their whole life is what they wear and what they eat. And, you know, they're all about the style. And they're all about the food. And they go to restaurants and take a picture of it and post it on Facebook. Look what I got to eat. That's their life. There's nothing wrong with enjoying a meal. There's nothing wrong with dressing nice. But if that's your life, if that's what your life is about death. It's about death. Because that leads to nothing. And being anxious about it, being worked up about it, I don't have these shoes. I don't have these clothes. I don't have that car. I wish I could afford it. And to be anxious about it, to worry about it, that's death. That's death eating away at you. But to not worry about it, say, it doesn't matter. I don't care. God's taking care of me. I'm going to get by. I may not have what this person has. Doesn't matter to me. Just lift that off of your heart. You look up at the sky and you enjoy the day and you're light. Your heart is light. That's the way of life. You see? Don't be anxious. Jesus says, God knows you need those things. He'll take care of you. He takes care of the birds. He takes care of the grass. He'll take care of you. And you just don't have to worry about that. Do not be anxious for tomorrow, for tomorrow will take care of itself. Well, I'm out of time. I could say more. You know I could say more. But here's the rub. Here's the thing. Christians, brothers, sisters, we make a choice every day to let our light shine, do good works, to come to church, to pray, to do right by people, to tell the truth. Sometimes they take advantage of us. We make hard choices in life. We don't give ourselves over to the lusts and corruption of the flesh, the party world that we live in. We don't do that. We make a choice of living a narrow life. And it's a good life. And it leads to life. And we need to know that. We need to know it in our bones every single day. This is the good life. It is. We avoid so much death and destruction and mayhem and ugliness and hate. We avoid that. Get that out of our life. And it leads to eternal life. That's the truth. And if you're not on that path, you need to enter the gate. You need to. It's your choice. Nobody's going to make you do that. God leaves it up to you. Are you going to choose the narrow way? It's not easy, but it's good. And if you want to enter by that narrow gate, enter that narrow path today, as Jesus describes it, you understand it's challenging. I've described it as challenging here. But if you want it, it can be yours in Jesus Christ. Declare your faith in Him. Turn away from sin. And be baptized. Have your sins washed away. And enter that narrow path. Come forward and say that you will today. Stand and sing.